Hi, everyone. Steve Adubato. This is Lessons in Leadership with our executive producer, co-anchor Mary Gamba. Mary, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really great today, Steve. Thanks so much. How are you this morning?
I'm good. It's going to get even better because we're about to introduce a first-time guest. He will be back, I promise, many times in the future. Patrick Smith is president of consumer banking over our good friends at Valley Bank. Good to see you, Patrick.
Good to see you, Steve. Thank you for having me.
By the way, not that I'm going to be doing swag all the time and promotional stuff, but you see my... This is the logo. This is the tagline. That's how. Tell everyone what that means. That's how what?
That the Valley is how you get your financial services questions answered, how you get the trusted advice and guidance that you, and especially our households these days, so desperately need.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. How have you gotten to be the leader you are at Valley today? Meaning, describe as concisely and compellingly as you can, Patrick, your leadership journey to this role.
Yeah, no, I have a long history in financial services, but I actually began my career after business school in consulting. And so I really cut my teeth, as a consultant. So I got a really good insight into the range of needs and the complexities of large national, multinational organizations. And so that gave me a ton of insight into how things work and how business was done on a practical level. For me, my sense of wanting to be in a leadership position was always born out of my experiences as a kid, where I'm from rural Mississippi, a really poor environment. But the richness in that environment was in the sense of community. We cared for each other, people looked after each other, and there was a sense of belonging. And so I always wanted to be in a management position where I can create that for others and be part of a great team. So as I moved around in my career and switched from consulting into banking into line management roles, that always stayed with me. I learned and grew as I went. And I think I learned a lot of lessons by watching other people and by making some, healthy mistakes that really helped me. Success is a good teacher, but nothing teaches you, quite as well as kind of stubbing your toe a time or two. And I think that all brought me or prepared me to come to Valley at the exact right moment in Valley's history, where we are not looking to be something different because we have a great culture and heritage, but looking to be a better version of ourselves and to carry what Valley does well into the future.
Absolutely. We'll be talking in just a bit about an initiative that, Mary, I don't know how many years we've been leading, facilitating the Valley Leadership Academy with some extraordinary leaders we've met over the years. We'll talk about that in a second, but Mary, go ahead.
Patrick, I would love to talk a little bit more. You talked about your journey, and of course, there is so much competition out there, especially in banking. And I wanted to get a sense from you, why Valley? And I know that's a very, very broad question, but we always talk about, as Steve mentioned, we do the Leadership Academy at Valley Bank. We know that leadership is so important from the top throughout the rest of the organization with Ira Robbins leading Valley. But why for you? Why Valley? What attracted you to the culture to bring your roots to Valley?
By the way, before Patrick responds, go on our website, check out previous interviews we've done with Ira Robbins and other leaders at Valley. I apologize, Patrick.
No. I think that's a great call out. So thank you for that, Steve. I think I would say, briefly three real reasons. One is, you mentioned, is the culture. As a professional in the modern environment where things are really intense, they're fast paced, it's really important for me, and I think for most people, to be in an environment where they really enjoy the people that they work with. There's a sense of mutual respect, but there's also a sense of challenging each other, but constructively. Valley has all that. Valley has this deep sense of concern and this deep sense of community and togetherness within the company. It's just a really rich and enriching environment to be in. The second thing is the mission. Valley's mission is to really serve what we call, we want to own the middle. And what that means is, if you think about corporations, if you think about small businesses, if you think about households, there's really less of an emphasis in financial services these days on the middle of the income distribution and on the mid-sized companies. We really want to focus on those companies, for one, because they really do need the help. There's a lot of pressure on households, as you guys know. There's a lot of complexity in being able to manage a small business in a really turbulent, volatile, uncertain environment. And then our middle market clients continue to rely on us to be a source of financial strength for them. And so we want to make sure that we can do that effectively. I love that mission in Valley. And then the last thing is the resources. Valley is a $65 billion bank, which means that We have enough a capacity to invest in technology and talent and all the things that we need in order to bring to bear the capabilities that our clients needs, the products and services, to be effective in serving their needs. Where I think it may be harder if you were at a different size or smaller bank, Valley is uniquely positioned to both fulfill its mission in a way that leverages the incredible set of resources and assets that we have.
Obviously, AI, a huge challenge and opportunity in banking and business and leadership. But I want to switch gears a little bit. We'll talk about AI if we get time. But I want to do this. In the Valley Leadership Academy, Patrick, one of the major themes in our work is helping these terrific leaders who are in the academy become more comfortable giving constructive, honest, candid, hard to hear feedback to employees around performance issues. And very often, whether it's at Valley or other places where we do our leadership work, the response is, I don't like confrontation. And without going on my soapbox, my response will be, so let me understand this. You need to give this feedback for someone to improve, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. How are you helping them if you're not helping them? How have you gotten to the point where you're comfortable giving honest, constructive, hard-to-hear feedback because it's your job as a leader?
Yeah, well, I think one is it's embracing of the fact that I have an obligation, to your point, as a leader, to do it. It's essential to the well functioning of the business, and we can't serve our clients, nor can we actually help grow our employees without candid feedback. If for nothing else, it's very hard for people to make improvements if they don't know they need to make improvements. So
They don't know what they don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think, it's a little bit like being a coach where, the employee actually is on the field and they're doing their earnest best, I think, and in 99% of the cases, to do a good job. But as a manager, kind of like as a coach, you kind of have an objective view. You can see the whole field. So you can observe them from an outside in perspective. So that positions you uniquely to be able to give feedback. And most managers earn their way to being managers or leaders. And so they know what it's like. They know what the emotions are like. And so I do think that's accepting the fact that you are uniquely positioned to be able to give good feedback, and you're obligated to do it for the betterment of the employees in the business. But I think that the key here is kind of what you alluded to, which is I think it's reframing your mindset. Because if you think that you're doing this is going to damage somebody, who wants to do that? No, most of us aren't masochists. We don't want to hurt people in any way. But I think what if you reframe it to say, hey, this is really, I want to help the person who I'm giving the feedback to. Let me position the feedback honestly and constructively to be able to help support them. I want them to grow. Athletes need to know, these are the skills you need to develop, and let me help you do that. That's
That's
the
right.
mindset that we need to have for effective coaching and development.
To Patrick's point, as you jump back in, Mary, Patrick said it so well. But I often tell people, even if you do it with compassion, with empathy, and you say it in a way that is intended to be helpful, it does not guarantee on the other end. What's one of my favorite feedback books, Mary? What's the title? Do you know the title?
Which one?
Thanks for the feedback. And
Oh,
my
yeah.
response is, nobody ever says that.
Nobody says thank you.
The book is called Thanks for the Feedback. I go, who says that?
Not
That's the
many
message in
people.
the book. Go ahead, Mary. Sorry.
Patrick, you talked about the growth at Valley and in particular just how quickly that's changed and the growth that you're seeing there. Talk about how you break down silos at a bank that's growing as rapidly at that pace, the sharing of information, the crossing across different, like you said, you're in consumer banking, and then if somebody is in audit and somebody is in whatever the department may be, how do you break down silos, bring people together so you still have that close, intimate bond and you're sharing that information, but also growing at the same time?
Yeah, it's a fabulous question, Mary, because I think it acknowledges the fact that particularly in banking, it really is a team sport. I mean, you have your marketing that needs to work with product, that needs to work with the risk management. I mean, all the pieces really have to work tightly together. But as you get bigger, you need specialization, and so they tend to be organizationally siloed. And so how do you break those silos? I'll tell you, this is Steve asked why I came to Valley. This is one of Valley's superpowers, because really, you could. There's a lot of ways to try to do this. You can do it forcefully by mandating it and browbeating people. You can be punitive, but the best way to do it, and this is the Valley way, is it's baked into the culture.
That's
Valley
right.
has a culture of collaboration, and so we don't need to persuade people that they naturally do it. They naturally want to work with their peers. We naturally want to do what's right for our clients, and so for us, it's actually not at all an issue. In fact, it's leveraging a unique strength of ours. And even in a place where, as you get bigger, I think to your point is size mandates more complexity, but we manage that mostly, honestly, we have processes and systems and controls, but really the way we manage it most effectively is because of our unique culture.
Well said. And to Ira and to Yvonne and Sabine, the team that heads up people resources and talent and development, and who have given us the opportunity at Stand and Deliver, our leadership and communication coaching, to be partners. And I'm a longtime customer, to fully disclose. I wanted to say thank you because, Mary and I, people underestimate partnerships. I want to do it alone. Really? Good for you. Not going to go very far. And
No.
those partnerships are a key. And I know Patrick understands it well. You are a tremendous addition to the team at Valley. We look forward to working with you in the future. All the best, Patrick.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. First of all, thank you for the partnership. Thank you for your business. We always like to have a chance to acknowledge our customers for entrusting us with their most important, some of the most important assets, their money. So thank you for that. And thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. It's been a lot of fun.
All good. This is Lessons in Leadership. We'll be right back right after this. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 825, NJ Transit, the Northport Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague Mary Gamba has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media. All right, folks, look, we don't normally do this, but we're doing a commercial spot live, or as my good friend Bill O'Reilly says, we'll do it live. We're doing this live. This is two-thirds of a three-team, great team of leaders in the catering, food business, entertainment business. We've got Vito Cucci. We've got Joe Murillo. We're missing Barry Murillo. We're going to tape with Barry in our next taping. Guys, Joe, what am I looking at right now? What am I plugging?
Nanina's Gourmet Pasta Sauce.
To tell people why it's so special, put up the website, write it out, team. This is a live commercial.
Chef Vincenzo, it's his recipe from when he started working at Nanina's in 1952. And this is Chef Vincenzo's recipe. And Vincenzo right now is 83 years old, and he's still working at Nanina's. He comes in full time every week. It's a delicious marinara sauce. We have a vodka sauce. We have tomato basil. And we also have Fra Diavolo.
I was going to say, the Fra Diavolo is my favorite, Joe. I ain't going to lie.
And you can buy it at all the shop rates.
Fra Diavolo is amazing. You get some mussels or a jar of Nanina's Gourmet Fra Diavolo sauce on it. You're in heaven. Cook up a little linguine, put it over it, put the mussels over it. You're in heaven.
I love him. By the way, we'll have Barry, the great Barry Murillo, on, Joe's slightly older brother, along with Vito. Vito, real quick, before we let you guys go and we bring Barry on next time, you guys have been partners for how long, Vito?
Oh, since 1996.
1996.
That's not bad, huh?
No, that's tremendous.
That's 30 years.
Yeah, and by the way, he was a little kid at the time.
Who was?
Joe was.
I was about 37 years old at the time.
Yeah, he was a little pup.
No, 31, actually. Sorry.
Well, how about this? I've been asking for 30 years, tell me what's in the sauce. And Vito said, I would tell you, but then I'd have to.
Come on, Steve, give me a break. I have enough problems with that name, you know?
No, I was just, we're amongst paisans. I thought I could say that.
Yeah. Listen, I went to
Joe, did I go
school
over the line?
down south, okay? Like 1975, after The Godfather, it was like a living hell there. You know, everybody
Really?
thought I was the Godfather. They never heard that name, Vito, before in their lives, except for in The Godfather.
So they thought you were Vito Corleone, not Vito
Yeah,
Cucci.
absolutely. Yeah, it was tough.
Joe, great partnership. This is the sauce. By the way, these are the gift baskets for Nina's. The website will be up right now. This is the most fun I've ever had doing a live commercial. The next time we'll have all three of them on, along with Barry, Joe, and Vito, and also they're longtime partners of us, of ours on the Caucus Educational Corporation, supporting our programming in all seriousness with prominent government officials talking about serious public policy, including our good friend, the greatest Joe, the greatest county executive in the
Joe
country.
DiVincenzo. Joe
Essex
D,
County.
the best.
He's one of our paisans as well. This is the
Thank
all Italian lessons in leadership. This is B Vito, Joe, Barry will be with us next time. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Visitors traveling to New Jersey for the FIFA World Cup can use New Jersey Transit services statewide. Train, bus, light rail, and paratransit services connect riders to Newark Liberty International Airport, MetLife Stadium, New York City, and communities throughout New Jersey. New Jersey Transit Safe Passage Initiative raises awareness about the signs of human trafficking and encourages reporting suspicious activity. Travel information, schedules, and safe passage resources are available at njtransit.com.
Welcome back to Lessons in Leadership. Steve Adubato with Mary Gamba. No, we are not doing another commercial with my Italian American friends.
In all
Mary.
seriousness, I do have to say, and it's not, I know, I mean, it's lessons in leadership. We could say what we want. I genuinely love their Fra Diavolo sauce. It is so good. And if you
My
haven't
name is
tried
the
it, you should
best.
get it. They have it at my shop, right?
Yeah. We have every one of our important family events at Nonina's. And by the way, we will have Joe Murillo, Vito Cucci, and Barry Murillo on our next taping to talk about. And
100%.
I'll tell you one of the things I'm seriously fascinated by is how three very strong personalities, when they form this partnership, how the heck they make decisions. I mean, Mary, it's just, it's you and I, and then we have a great team. Could you imagine if there were three of us across?
Exactly. And again, you're getting all that different insight, the different opinions, and they're all stronger personalities and a great, they all seem like type A, you know them better than I do,
They
but
are.
somehow they figured out how to make it work while also innovating and being entrepreneurial at the same time.
Yeah, that's why we want to do that segment instead of just pitching
Can't wait.
sauce, which is good too. Hey, Mary, how about this one? Once again, this is episode 22 of the Lessons in Leadership mini seminars. This is a 22nd mini seminar. You believe that, Mary?
I'm impressed that you're counting, Steve. I was like, how did you know that? But you
I just made
counted.
it up. So I have no idea how many we did. But this one is called Leaders, right? Sylvester put this in post-production. Leaders need a short memory. Where did this
I'm
even come from?
fascinated, and I am so happy we have so much time to talk about this right now.
Well,
And they
excuse
also
me,
need
while
to
I'm
stay
drinking, I
hydrated,
thought you were going to
apparently.
talk, but go ahead.
I was just giving you a minute. I thought you were doing the dramatic
No,
pause, like if
go
you take
ahead.
your glasses
Why are
off.
we even doing this?
We are doing this because we've talked about it, but we've never actually put a title on it, in the fact that you and I are so similar in so many ways after working together for 26 years.
And
But
different. And
but we
different.
are different, and we could not be more different with the short memory. I always used to joke that I was like Dory in Finding Nemo, where you could tell me a secret because in 15 minutes I'm going to say, hi, I'm Dory. And then you brought up the idea of, you know, have a memory like a goldfish, which I'll let you talk about in a moment. But the difference is, if you and I get into a little bit of a disagreement, I will let it go the second it's over. I don't think about it again. I don't dwell on it. And I know you said that you don't believe that. I am literally blank after, like, I'll move on, I'll learn from it, I'll grow from it, but I'm not going to hold that grudge. Whereas you have admitted, both here in Lessons in Leadership, but also off the air as well, that you tend to hold on to things a little bit longer. So we're here to talk today about really having that memory of a goldfish. They say that a memory of the goldfish, I mean, how we know this, I have no idea, right? No, I know my goldfish are happy when...
One second.
Yeah.
You have seen The Godfather.
I have seen The Godfather.
You do understand, don't you?
I think I do.
I mean, listen, I will say this. We're going to do the goldfish. By the way, the goldfish thing is not mine. It comes from Ted Lasso.
And I'm sure from somewhere before there as well.
Yeah, I'm sure it was somewhere else. But
yeah, like,
Ted Lasso was talking to one of his players who had made a mistake in a game. And the guy was really down, soccer game. I guess in Europe, they call it football. So, and he said to him, Miss Carlin, what are you laughing at? It's not football. It's soccer. So hold on. And the guy was really down. And Ted Lasso, the coach, said to him, be like a goldfish. He said, well, be like a goldfish. Yeah. Goldfish. Memory comes and goes. Quick. Gone. Next. So I thought about this. And Mary did as well. And we were brainstorming. So under the banner. And that doesn't mean Mary and I agree with each other on all these bullet points. Leaders need to have a short memory. First one. Don't dwell on mistakes. Mary, devil's advocate. Of course I have to dwell on the mistake, because how am I supposed to learn from it if I don't dwell on it?
Recognize the mistake, acknowledge the mistake, address it, and then move on. The word dwell means that you are going to think about it. You're going to bring it up again. You're going to often conflate. You will say, well, I'm noticing a pattern here, which, you know, to your credit, Steve, we've talked about that before. I said, this is not a pattern. You're creating a pattern, because as human beings, psychologically, we like to have patterns in our lives. So to me, the word dwell, you need to learn from mistakes, grow from mistakes, acknowledge them. We can't ignore them and put our head in the sand, but we cannot dwell on them. If we do, we can get stuck.
Okay, let me just say this. Mary and I had a private conversation the other day. My wife, Jen, and I, Jen's the best. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary. I won't go into detail here. Mary, you did your 25th last year with Bill?
Yeah, we're actually, don't kill me. We were married in 99, so we're doing our 27th anniversary this year.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, here's the deal. My wife and I were talking about it, and we got into some disagreement about something. And so I was mad at her and not talking to her. And I told Mary about it. And I said, I'm not going to be the first one to crack. She has to be. And Mary said, what are you doing? I said, no, I'm not letting this one go. And you said, where's that going to get you? I said, I don't know. I don't care. And then I started bringing up other stuff to try to back up what my argument was in the argument. And my wife, when I brought it up, said, you've been holding on to stuff, ready to use that. And I
always
thought,
you tuck it away. And I'll often say to Steve, I'll be like, I'm going to give you some feedback right now. And please do not tuck this away in the to be used later or to be brought up later. It is something that's in the moment right now. And again, you've listened and you've grown in that way. But I will use the bus analogy. And it's, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that life is truly precious. And I said to Steve, God forbid, you know, you get hit by a bus or she gets
hit by a bus. Then.
I am, though, because if you don't approach your life every single day with the what ifs, if you are holding a grudge after something over something, and even if it is really big, even if it's the most egregious thing that person has ever done, at least acknowledge it and agree to go in your separate ways. But to leave things unsaid, life is too short.
Okay. All right. We agree. This is something we agree on. When you make a mistake or fall short, a failure, this is where I know I'm good. I lost my seat in the state legislature in the beginning of 1986, lost a column in the Star Ledger on leadership communication, fired from six different networks and a bunch of other stuff. Right. And we've lost sponsors. This is where I know I'm good. I get upset. I dwell for 24 hours or less, and Mary knows this, pretty quickly, I'm like, okay, what do we need to do? What's next? By the way, Mary, do you remember when my column in the Star Ledger called The Communication Coach got cut?
Yeah.
That was within 2 days, we came up with the idea for Lessons in Leadership.
Exactly.
Which became a column we owned. We syndicated in a bunch of magazines. It became two books, seminar series, but because I got fired from the Star Ledger for my column. And I'm not bragging. All I'm saying is dwelling on it perseverating about it, feeling like a victim would have gotten us where?
It would get you nowhere. You need to realize, and again, you say it hard, like you got fired, like you did something wrong. The paper...
They
dropped the column. It wasn't some sort of... And that was the case in all of the situations. It's life changes.
On some networks, I did some dumb stuff.
That was before my time, so...
ABC, MSNBC, I got a few networks.
We'll have to talk. That'll be an off-the-air discussion. Yes. But
CBS said don't come back either. So go ahead.
In one of the... one of our other shows, we're talking about the juice is worth the squeeze. And I hate the expression when life gives you lemons, you know, make lemonade. But in this situation, it actually is very true. You need to see the positive out of something, because you can't really help what happens. You can't always, you know, you're going to be dealt a horrible hand, but it's how you're going to play that hand. And it's your attitude. That is the one thing that you can always control, is your attitude.
Okay. Short memory. How about this one? Stay mentally fresh and focused. What if I'm down and out and you're saying be mentally fresh and focused?
It makes me laugh, because I now do this maniacal laugh. If yesterday I was having the craziest day ever, 3 o'clock came, and it was a dumpster fire day, right? So you picture like a dumpster filled with stuff, and that dumpster is on fire. No matter what you do, you can't put out that dumpster fire. And I just have this, I'm like, ha, 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 like, this is just great. And it's amazing, because whereas I used to be, when somebody would call, I'd be like, do you know how bad my day is? Do you know how many things I was dealing with? No one cares. So if you change, no one cares. No one, even I don't care. Like, I realize, like, whatever the thing is.
In the moment,
I care, but I'm like, why am I caring so much about this? Because the only one that it's impacting is me. So that memory, have the memory of a goldfish, 10 seconds, move on. Because when you're dwelling on something, you're really negatively impacting yourself.
Yeah, okay, one more bullet point. Have gratitude. Here's my gratitude rock.
Love it.
Sparrow, you want to zoom in on that? What does this have to do with a short memory? If you dwell on stuff, and I do, and you forget to have gratitude just by having great people around you, even when mistakes are made, even when I make mistakes and I have gratitude that people are forgiving of me, I need to have gratitude. We as leaders need to have gratitude, because mistakes get made all the time. Disappointments happen all the time. Have gratitude that you're all in it together, and you'll find a way out, even if it isn't exactly what you wanted and needed at the time. Just have gratitude. Easier said than done. Mary, another mini lessons in leadership video seminar. We're giving this stuff away for free. Go on our website. Get them. You can that's 23, Mary.
Okay, great. I hope you're right.
That's Michael Jordan's number. I just made it up. All right. Steve Adubato, Mary Gamble, lessons in leadership. Scrollin, you're a Mets fan. Catch that. See you next time. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, NJ Transit, the Northward Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague Mary Gamba has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Visitors traveling to New Jersey for the FIFA World Cup can use New Jersey Transit services statewide. Train, bus, light rail, and paratransit services connect riders to Newark Liberty International Airport, MetLife Stadium, New York City, and communities throughout New Jersey. New Jersey Transit Safe Passage Initiative raises awareness about the signs of human trafficking and encourages reporting suspicious activity. Travel information, schedules, and safe passage resources are available at njtransit.com.